We are still in our sermon series on Do Not Fear. This is our second one. We live in times where I think it's easy to be fearful. So I just wanted to look into some aspects of scripture where it talks about not fearing, so we can, as believers, know how to deal with the times that we're living in. Now, most of my experience as a Christian has been noticing, including myself, that most of us as Christians, we don't have a problem getting near Jesus necessarily. Coming near to Jesus, it's not too hard. You know, like doing devotionals or coming to church or going to Bible study, learning more, coming near to Jesus, in some ways it's the easy part, I think, for Christians. I notice, and things that we need to do. A lot of us, we don't have a hard time with doing that necessarily. But what I did notice is that as Christians, we don't have a hard time coming near Jesus, but we have a hard time going all the way in. Coming near and staying at a distance of Jesus is not too hard. But laying it all, you know, behind and giving everything up to follow Jesus for the calling that he has given us, now that's a different story. Going all the way into Jesus, saying, Jesus, like, I'm all in, that's more rare. That's more difficult to find, even amongst Christians. Getting near, not so hard. Going all the way in, very hard. Right? And I think I've shared this story before, but I have friends that I met in my 20s and other people that I've known, and many of them would say, you know, when I turn 40, then I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Then he can have all of me. I'm going to go on missions to the poorest area of the world, and I'm going to live as a missionary for Jesus for the rest of our life. But when I turn 40, so what they were really saying was that for the next 20 years, I'm in control of my life. I'm going to live life the way that I want. There's things that I want to accomplish. I want to make a lot of money. If I'm going to go on missions, I want to have a lot of money so I don't have to worry about money. You know, I want to get married. And these are all good things. But in essence, what they were saying was, when I turn 40, then I'm all in. Until then, I'm just going to hang out with Jesus. But I'm not going all the way in. I've met so many people like that. And I still keep in touch with some of them today, 20, 30 years later. And do you know what I find? Not one of them has gone all the way in. Not one of them has gone to missions. If anything, there's many who are no longer even going to church. They're not walking with God anymore. And there's many whose life hasn't really panned out the way that they thought it would. So now they have another excuse. They say, when I turn 60, when I turn 60, then I will be ready. Do you know what's going to happen when you turn 60? I'm too old now. That's going to be the next excuse. I'm too old. Jesus can't use me anymore, or I can't do anything for Jesus anymore. So in other words, they find it very difficult go all the way in immediately. And if we're honest, we find that difficult as Christians as well. Going all the way in, that's a fear that we have. Letting Jesus have control, complete control of our lives. Immediately following the calling that he gives us. Immediately saying, Jesus, I'm all yours. You can have my life. Saying that and doing that scares us, right? It's scary. It's scary to say, Jesus, I'm not going to be in control. I'm just going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm all yours. To even think that is scary. To do that, it's even harder. And not many get to do that as Christians. Many come near. Not many go all the way in. So today we're gonna attempt tried to convert those who are just trying to get near Jesus to going all the way in. We're going to see why from Scripture. We're going to see why we shouldn't be afraid to go all in. We're going to see why, actually, as Christians, we should not fear going all the way in to live and follow Christ wholeheartedly, totally surrender. Why we should not even think about, why we should not fear thinking about, you know, giving ourselves wholly to Jesus and how we can do that. We're going to see that from Scripture today. So if you have your Bibles, please open with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Again, that's Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, this is what it says. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked them to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. There is a way to get to the point of do not be afraid. And lay everything down and follow him. And today we're going to see how we can do that. Not just go near Jesus, but do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to go all the way in. You can follow him. We're going to see how this passage from Scripture, how Luke teaches us to do that. This is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. He's just getting started. He did a couple of miracles. So he healed some people before this passage. And so he's becoming popular. People are starting to talk about him. His following is growing in the thousands every minute. His Facebook account, his YouTube account, his Instagram is growing with followers in the thousands. As they are amazed at the power that he has to heal, and as they're amazed at his teaching. His teaching was powerful. It had authority. It was different from the religious teachings of their time. They were pretty much boring and powerless. Whenever Jesus spoke, it was powerful. It was the word of God. It had authority, and he healed. So people started to follow him. Everybody started to talk about Jesus. And this is where we come to in our passage today, where he can't even walk around comfortably anymore because crowds are pressing in to come near Jesus. So Jesus sees two boats of the fishermen who had just come from fishing all night, and they had just washed their nets, and they were about to go home and rest after a long night of work. And right before they do that, Jesus calls Simon and says, "Simon, I need to borrow your boat. Get in the boat with me, and let's go get a little far from the land so that I can teach all the crowd that's here, so that I can teach them God's word." And Simon, you know, who was so tired and who just finished washing the nets, without any questions asked — this is probably the first time he met Jesus — but Simon takes the boat and listens to Jesus and takes him a little further from land so he can start preaching to the crowd. You know, and in some ways you can kind of understand why Simon did that, right? When I was young, a young pastor, I'm still a big fan, but back then more so, I was a big fan of Pastor Francis Chan. He was like my hero. It was so cool. That guy was so cool. And one time I had a dream, like this is how much I liked it. I had a dream of Pastor Francis calling me. You know, I don't know how he found out my number, but he called me and he said, "David, I need you. Let's do ministry together." And I was so happy, you know, to be called by my, you know, a hero and somebody I admired and looked up to, and, you know, celebrity pastor. I would have been so honored to get a chance to do anything for him. That's kind of what Simon is showing. This is a Jesus growing in popularity, respectable figure, you know, just to have a chance to actually be the one serving Jesus with the boat is an honor. It's such a cool experience. So Simon says nothing, even though he's super tired. He says, "Jesus, let's go. I'll do whatever you say." And they go, you know, to the Sea of Galilee, and from a distance, Jesus starts to teach the crowd. By the way, Jesus got on the boat because he wanted to, you know, get away from the crowd in a place where the crowd couldn't reach him so he could minister to them, but also because of acoustics, because of sound. This was the most effective way that you can preach without a microphone, that everybody can hear you clearly. So what does this show us? Jesus cares about sound. Jesus cares about equipment. Jesus cares about the worship experience. He put himself in the best situation possible to minister to the people in the best way possible. And that's when Jesus got on the boat and he started to teach the crowd. And after he finished teaching the crowd, Jesus now gets personal with Simon and says, "Simon, go a little deeper into the sea and cast your nets." And this is a radical statement from Jesus. Jesus is saying, you know, don't go back to land, but go a little bit further. Let's go fishing, he says. Cast down the nets, Jesus tells Simon. It doesn't matter how much you admire someone, this is sort of offensive for Simon. Because Jesus, he's not a fisherman. He's a carpenter, he's a preacher. He knows nothing about fishing in Simon's mind. And Simon, if I was Simon, I would have been so annoyed. He just came back from fishing all night, and he didn't catch anything. It was a bad business day. It was a bad day in business. He didn't make any profit. He lost a lot of money. All night he was trying to fish, to catch fish, because that's the best time to fish. You're not supposed to fish in the morning. If you didn't catch anything at night, it was guaranteed you're not going to catch anything in the morning. The expert here in fishing is Simon. This is his profession. He's a professional fisherman. And he knows better than Jesus. And he just had a bad night, caught nothing. And he's so tired. Before he just asked to borrow his boat, he finished washing the nets. He was ready to go home, watch some Netflix, and go to sleep. And try to forget about the tough night that he had. But he's tired. He's annoyed. And he knows that Jesus knows nothing about fishing, but Jesus said, "Cast the nets." Can you imagine how frustrating it would have been for Simon? It didn't make sense. It was irrational. It went against everything he knew as an expert fisherman about all the experiences he had, all the knowledge he had. It didn't make any sense to cast the nets at that time. And Simon respectfully says, "Master, you know, we caught nothing last night. We spent the whole night fishing. We caught nothing. And I'm pretty sure we're not going to catch anything now, but just because you say so." Even though it goes against everything I believe in and know, understand, and I'm educated in, and I've experienced, even though it goes against everything my profession has taught me, just because you say so, I will cast down the nets. I will cast down the nets. And when he cast down the nets, something inexplicable. Something that shouldn't have happened, happened. He caught so much fish. He couldn't handle himself. His nets were breaking. He calls his partners who were done washing their nets to come back. Come back. I can't handle all these fish. And then they bring a second boat and he has partners to help him. Both boats are sinking because there's too much fish. A miracle happened. You know, this is important because this is how you and I will be able to follow Jesus. The first thing, follow Jesus all the way in. The first thing that we need to do is we need to get over ourselves. If you and I really want to go all the way in with Jesus, we need to simply obey. Simply obey Jesus. No questions asked. No conditions given to Jesus. Jesus, you know, when I'm 40. Jesus, you know, when I have more money. Jesus, if we do that, there's no miracle for you and for me. There's no miracle for you and for me. But Simon, when everything went against everything he knew and believed, he simply obeyed. And that's when he experienced the miracle. You know, in life, this is how kind of life works too. If you have two businessmen, and one, you know, says, "I'm going to start my business when I'm 70% ready. And I'll figure out the rest. I'm just going to go for it when I'm not ready." You know, there's people like that. And then there's people that are more careful, and they say, "You know what, I'm going to start my business when I am 99.9% ready." So the 70% guy starts it 1 year, the 99% guy starts it the year after. Do you know what's going to happen to the 99.9% guy? By the time he starts his business, the first guy is going to be working on version 2.0. Because he launched when he wasn't ready, and he learned along the way, and he's so way more advanced than the second guy who tried to have everything perfectly ready to launch, that when he's just getting started, the first guy is already working on version 2.0. Even in life situations, this is what usually happens. When you just do it, that's when you get results. That's when you go further. I think I've shared this story before too. I had two friends that wanted to get married. One guy, he met the woman of his dreams. But he needed to have everything ready. He needed to have a $100,000 paying job. He needed to have a house. He needed to have security and income. And these are good things. These are good things. But he needed to have everything ready. We kept on telling him, "Just get married and figure it out. Just get married and figure it out later." And he said, no, that's, I can't do that to her. No, that's so irresponsible." And he waited and waited and waited. And you know what happened? She left. She left. And she said, "You know, I can't wait no more." He lost the woman of his dreams because he couldn't just do it. And then I have another friend who didn't even go to college, only graduated high school, but he met the woman of his dreams. He literally didn't even have $1,000 in his bank account. He didn't know how he was going to provide for her, but he just knew he found the woman that he wanted to spend the rest of his life with, and he married her. Just went for it, having no plan. I mean, maybe this is not fully a good idea, but you know, he didn't think about anything other than, I'll figure it out after I get married. And then he did. He didn't want to lose her. He got married, and they're just fine. He started his own business. They have two kids. They're doing financial. Things have worked out. They figured it out. He kept the girl, first guy, lost the girl. This is how it works spiritually as well. If we want to follow Jesus all the way in, answer the call that he has for our lives, the first thing we have to do is just do it. We just have to obey. No questions asked. Even though there's obstacles, even though there's objections, even though there's doubt, there's risk, there's all these reasons why it's not going to work, if Jesus says do it, then just do it. Just do it. That's what this passage is showing. If you just do it, then you're going to see a miracle, and all of your objections will not be correct, and you're going to see and experience the power of Jesus more and more. You're going to grow closer to your understanding and the power of who Jesus is and how he works. Because that's what Simon is experiencing. Despite the chaos and the miracle, do you know what he does? He doesn't think about the fish anymore. He doesn't think about the miracle anymore. He gets on his knees and he's totally focused on Jesus. Like Daryl Bach says, something dawned on him at this time that Jesus was acting with divine power. This was someone special. And you know, in the Bible, always, whenever there's miracles that happen, it's not that we're supposed to be amazed at the miracles or become miracle chasers. Whenever there's miracles, the whole idea is that miracles will point to someone. Miracles will point us to Jesus. That's what miracles were for in the Bible times, as we can see today as well. So after, you know, he gets a chance to see what's going on, he understands there's a miracle, but he understands there's something more important than the fish and the miracle and the big catch is Jesus. It's Jesus. This is someone who's who God is using in a divine way. He didn't have full understanding yet that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the second person of the Trinity. He didn't have that kind of understanding just yet. But he understood that Jesus was someone, that there was a vast difference between who Jesus was and who he is, that God is someone that is working through Jesus. This is God's agent, and the presence, the power of God are at work at this time. And I acknowledge this, so he gets on his knees and says, get away from me, depart from me, for I am a sinner. I am a sinner. He knew he was through the presence of holiness, power, and purity. He knew that God was at work and that Jesus was the agent that God was using. So he needed to bow, he needed to get on his knees, and he needed to say, depart from me. You are holy and I am a sinner. Back then, there was much more awe and reverence and respect for God and his agents, unlike today. Back then, people did have a better understanding of fearing and being in awe and reverence of God and the people that God used. So this is what, you know, we can see from Simon. And he gets on his knees and he says, get away from me, I am a sinner. And Jesus says, do not fear. I will give you now a new mission in life. You will no longer catch fish. From now on, you will catch men. This is pretty remarkable. Do you know why? Jesus gave significance to the life of Simon. Simon was only catching fish. Being away from Jesus, having never met Jesus, waiting 20 years until 40 to serve, if he would have lived like that, he would have caught fish his whole life. The life that he was looking for, the significance that he was looking for, he only found it through Jesus. Jesus took him to another level in life. He said, you are catching fish, now you will catch me. The life was totally transformed. The life that he was trying to manufacture for himself by staying away from Jesus, he realized he will only find it if he goes directly to Jesus. This is why everybody who says, I'm going to wait until I'm 40 to, you know, go to Jesus, they're going to miss out on their purpose and excitement and the journey and the dreams that they have about life. They're never going to come true because they only come true in Jesus Christ. This is what Simon is teaching is that we're all wrong. We think that if we stay near Jesus just at a distance, and if we don't go all in, we're going to have our dreams come true. Never. Never. We're only going to catch fish if that's what the way that we live as Christians. The way that our dreams come true, the way that we live the life that we dream of living, the way that we have significance in life, and get to do things that are way higher than we can ever think or imagine, the way to receive a higher calling, it's only when we go directly to Jesus. Go all the way in. All the way in. If we know better, then we catch fish. If we simply obey and go all the way in, then we catch men. We live the life that we want to live. That we dream of living, that we were created to live. You know, a lot of wealthy people, like the millionaires and the billionaires, when they make all that kind of money, do you know what they say? I'm still not happy. I'm still not satisfied. For those people, money is no longer the goal. You know what they try to do? They live for significance. Money and all the toys they have is boring now. Like, they have too much of that. And it's not getting them the satisfaction they want in life. So what they start to, what they try to accomplish, they try to get to is, from wealth, they try to get to another level. They want a life of significance. Jesus is the only one. He's the only one that can give us a life of significance. Where our lives matter. Where there's purpose and meaning. There's a reason for your existence and mine. And it's not just shallow where it's for money, wealth, and material things. But it's way above that. It's a higher calling. It's significance. And that's what Jesus is doing with Simon. He's saying, you are catching fish. I'm going to give you a new life. I'm going to transform your life. You're going to catch me. If the encounter is with the true God, our lives can never stay the same. If we say that we have encountered the living, the one and only true God, then our lives will always change. There will always be some kind of transformation. And if we haven't experienced that yet, we have room to question whether we have gone all in, whether we have really encountered the living God or not. Because if we do, our lives cannot stay the same. It's impossible to encounter the true God and not have anything about you transformed. You know why this is so cool? You know what Jesus is showing Simon and all the other fishermen? Jesus is showing this Simon and all the other fishermen. He's showing them, I know better than you. Because remember, Simon is a professional fisherman. But when he tried to do things with his own power and expertise and experience, he caught nothing. But when he listened to Jesus in circumstances where he shouldn't be able to catch any fish, he had the biggest catch of his life. What is this showing us? This is showing us that Jesus is better than you and me at life. So we can trust him. So we can follow him. So we can go all in. We want to follow somebody that knows better. We want to follow somebody that knows better than us, even our own profession. Jesus is a better businessman than you and me. For those of you in the business, Jesus is a better mom, Jesus is a better dad, Jesus is a better doctor. Whatever you are good at, Jesus is a better pastor, whatever you and I are good at, he's better. He knows more, he's better, he knows the path, so we can follow him. It is much better to follow him. He'll lead us to the life that we want. But if we don't follow him, then we can't know better and we'll never reach the life that we want. You see what? It is the dumbest thing to say, you know what? Jesus, just at a distance, I'm going to follow you for 20 years and I'm going to stay away from you because that's how I think I'm going to accomplish my dream life. It's the dumbest statement to make. We can't do that. We don't know that much. We are not as good as Jesus at life and at everything else life has to offer. Jesus just shamed all these fishermen in an impossible situation. He gave them the biggest catch of their lives. He's showing them, you can trust me. You can trust me. I know better than you. I am able. When you're not able, I am able. So if you follow me, you are in good hands and you will be able to do much more than you think or imagine. You will live the life that you dream of living. You will be shown new visions and new dreams and new callings. And you will be told how you can accomplish it because Jesus knows. To keep Jesus at a distance is our loss. A huge, huge loss. To put him secondary, to try to focus on other things in life other than Jesus, it's our loss. We're going to lose big time. Because he knows. Because he's better. Because he is able. Way better. Way more than you and I ever will. This is why the dumbest thing is to not go all in, right? This is the dumbest thing. We're going to miss out on this. It's the biggest loss that we're going to have. If we don't go all in, if we don't answer the call that Jesus has for our lives, then we're going to miss out. This is why we don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. Because we're going to find the life that we want when we go all the way in, not when we stay out. So, I invite you, I encourage you. Doesn't matter who you are, how old, how young, if you're still alive, then there's more for you. There's way more for you. There's a higher calling, there's a higher purpose. But only if you just simply obey when you don't understand, when it doesn't make sense, when it's irrational, just do it. And go all the way in. All the way in. All the way in. And you will find life. And you will find the life that you're looking for. You will find significance. You will find a higher way of life that he has for you. That only he can give you. If some of us are saying, you know what, I don't think you're right. My life is just fine and Jesus is nowhere near my life, but I'm pretty satisfied. If that's you, I'm happy for you. But I will probably also say, you have very low standards. And I'll probably say, you are too easily pleased. Les Brown, this is a leadership guy, he said, failures in life occur not because we aim high and miss, but because we aim low and hit. If you aim low and hit, that's failure. That's not success. So failures in life occur not because we aim high and miss, but because we aim too low and we actually hit. C.S. Lewis said, it would seem, this is C.S. Lewis, he said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. If you're okay without Jesus, then you're not really living. You're not really experiencing true life. You can't really call that success. I had lunch with Dennis and Justine last week. I think it was last week or the week before. I love hanging out with Dennis and Justine because, they're just fun. It was fun and they're cool, both really cool and both very gifted. And when you're around cool people, you feel cool, So I like hanging out with them. And Dennis was saying some things and I got permission to share what I'm about to share because I told him I'm going to use it in one of my sermons sometime, and he said it was fine. Dennis says a lot of things, not in that sense. Like Dennis, he has a lot of ideas, and he likes to share those ideas. And one in particular caught my attention, one of the things that he said that day. He said, Pastor David, he said, I have achieved, I'm paraphrasing and I could be wrong, so if I'm wrong, Dennis can correct me later. But he said, I have achieved everything that I wanted to achieve. Everything that I needed in order to be happy, whatever the world says you need to be happy, I have it. He said, he has money. He doesn't have to worry about money, finances, because he makes good money, so he can buy you lunch or dinner anytime. Just ask him. He doesn't have to worry about finances at a young age, right? What a blessing. What a blessing, right? He has his own place. He's a doctor. That's why he doesn't have to worry about finances, right? He became a doctor very successfully at a young age. He married Justine, the woman of his dreams, right? Right? I didn't hear anything from Dennis. No amen, so I'm sure he did it internally. But he said, I have everything I need and want. But he said, I'm not satisfied. If the world teaches you that if you have all of these things, you should be happy and satisfied. But he said, I have all of these things. I have achieved so much in life. But I'm not satisfied. And that was very insightful for me. And it made me think a lot. Because he has indeed achieved way more than many his age would. And yet he says, but it's still not satisfying. That was very deep. That was very insightful. And it made me really think. And I think if we're really honest, we can probably agree with this, all of us, even though we're Christians, that we have so much, yet we're still not satisfied. And do you know why that is? It's because satisfaction and significance will only be found in Christ when we go all the way in to Christ. He alone no matter how much you and I try to build this, I'm not saying that it's different, but no matter how much you and I try to build this life, we will never find the life we're looking for. If Christ is not the same. Never. So how can we find this life? How can we go all in to Jesus? We have to do what Simon did. We have to repent. We have to repent. That's how Simon got in, right? He humbled himself. He obeyed when he didn't understand. He just did it. And then when things were happening, he got on his knees and said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I've been living without you, Jesus. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, that's exactly what I need. I can work with that. I can change that life. I can make something out of that life. The one that says, I don't have my own plans. The one that I have been proud. I have been living without you. I am a sinner before you, Jesus. The one who can say that, Jesus will say, come. Come. From now on, you will catch men, not fish. From now on, you will have significance in life. From now on, you are with me. You are all in. From now on, you will live the life that you dreamed about. Jesus is calling you now. He's calling everybody in this room. Doesn't matter how old, how young. Jesus is calling. Will you answer? Will you answer? You should. You so should. It'll change your life forever. Let's pray.